Philip Todres. The fascinating sounding and looking book, Eone, Our Story, edited by Wayne Muller and Hilda Ruess.
It truly is a fascinating book and beautifully designed. I think I might start with that. There's a very 50s-60s ethos to the look, all those wonderful black and white photographs which come from the archives of the Eone Group, which got moved to the University of Stellenbosch. I think that was the motivation for them writing the book. They had this wonderful resource which they would like to use, and they put together a book committee. Now, I sort of shuddered at the thought of that. I mean, who writes a book by committee? And yet it's been wonderfully pulled off, because I think the idea was to see how they could contextualize the work of the fabulous Eone Group within the time and the period that it relates to. And the book really starts off in the early 40s, where a real, you know, do-gooder decided to improve the lot of the coloured people. And her name is, and I better just get this one right, because it's a double-barreled name. Her name was Helen Southern Holt, and she was basically the founder of the Eone Group, and was really to... And one doesn't know to what extent it was patronising or a real do-gooder who wanted to do something valuable, and I think that really is the answer. And the Eone Group came into being and is the first black cultural music, opera, creative force in Southern Africa. And I think I just want to repeat what it says on the blurb, because it's one of the few books one can really say that what they set out to do has really happened. The Eone Group was started in District 6 in the 1930s. As a cultural organization for the coloured community of Cape Town, performing opera, ballet and drama. The group has become an important part not only of the performance history of classical music and opera in South Africa, but also of the rich cultural heritage of the Cape. During the artistic peak from the 1950s to the 1970s, Eone was extremely popular amongst opera lovers, but because of South Africa's racial policies, could not perform with white opera and ballet companies and had to suffer the many indignities of segregation. And that comes through, and it comes through because they've had interviews with 45 different people associated with the group. And those stories are poignant, they are revealing, and I think the word revealing is quite important, because, you know, I think what takes place on the stage also is acted out in life, and it's a case of life imitating art. And I think some of these stories are more dramatic than any of the operas they ever produced in many respects. And you have this wonderfully talented group of people, nurtured and looked after. And of course, the one name that often will always come up is Manka, Dr. Manka, who was an incredible dominating force. And I use the word dominating because, you know, one sometimes gets this uncomfortable feeling that it might have been a sense of sort of boss-up. But anyone who's been in theatre knows that there is always a director who's got to be in charge. Putting together a huge opera is not about a democratic process. It's about one person calling the shots. And he certainly was able to do it. He did it very effectively. And for many years, Cape Town was wonderfully privileged from those sitting in the audience, seeing these incredibly talented people putting off miraculous feats. These were all working people, people who worked in factories, people who had jobs, people who were teachers, people who had to bring up families in very difficult conditions. Transport is an issue. All these things which unfortunately still persist in the cultural lives of many people in South Africa, yet the Eone Group somehow survived, did some amazing things, and then in many ways made a decision to self-destruct in terms of the apartheid regime, in terms of not being able to participate in the then Nico Milan theatre space. It was a very, very difficult period of decision-making in a cultural arena which was fraught in terms of the apartheid era in which we lived. And I think all of this comes through, the political scenario, plus the kind of bickering, the, you know, backstabbing, the jealousies. It really is a remarkable story, beautifully told, and compliments the people who got into the nitty-gritty of the story, reveal it in all its warts and blemishes, and it's a really good read.
So a lot of them are still alive.
Yes, and these interviews have been very effective, and the decision was made not to edit them, that the voices really come through, and if the interview was in Afrikaans, there's a good translation. But you really get that texture, which I think is very important, and compliments to the editors for getting it just right.
That was Philip Todres, and he was talking about, he and I pronounce it differently, I call it EO and you call it Eone.
I bet you got that one right, and I've got it wrong, but I somehow one of us always have
right.
Always.
It's called Our Story, and it's edited by Wayne Muller and Hilda Ruess.